First, it was modular furniture. Today we have modular homes. Absolute game changers when it comes to buying real estate. Could modular nuclear reactors have the same revolutionary impact in the clean energy market? Their low-cost, flexible designs make them powerful contenders in the world of clean energy. So, are we going to see things like nuclear-powered airplanes and cars in the near future? What about tiny little modular reactors powering our homes? We thought these questions and this very interesting technology deserved a deeper dive today on Tube and DaVinci. This video is brought to you by Brilliant. Feed your curiosity for math and science with a subscription to Brilliant. For some, the mere mention of nuclear power conjures up nightmares of mushroom clouds and three-eyed fish, but nuclear energy has proven vital in the quest for carbon-free energy production. Since emerging in the 1950s, nuclear energy has increased by over 2,000%. In the US alone, over 90 nuclear power stations contribute one-fifth of the nation's electricity. Globally, nuclear reactors account for over 10% of electricity generation in 2019. Best of all, nuclear power is virtually carbon-free. One study even suggests that the nuclear reactors in Illinois can produce more carbon-free energy than all the windmills in California. Nuclear energy, unlike other green sources, isn't susceptible to intermittency, weather patterns, or changes in the amount of sunlight, making it a reliable baseload power source. And yet, nuclear energy production has been steadily declining since the mid-90s. The rise of wind and solar have partly contributed, but nuclear reactors are big and expensive. A nuclear power plant in the US can cost up to $6,000 per kilowatt, trailing behind its arch rival, natural gas, which costs less than a grand per kilowatt. Plus, not every region on the planet has infrastructure to build these massive hourglass-shaped towers. We can't all be Springfield, wherever Springfield is. But what if there was a way to have all the benefits of nuclear power without the cost and size? Introducing the small modular reactor. We made a video about a modular housing company called Boxable, which we'll link here, and how their ability to automate and create walls and homes on an assembly line can really drive down cost. Sure, there are challenges, like with all things, but what if instead of building massive on-site nuclear power plants, we could crank them out smaller on an assembly line? Well, when we say small, how small are we talking? The International Atomic Energy Agency defines a small reactor as one that produces 300 megawatts of electricity or less. These systems, called SMRs, small modular reactors, are also designed and built inside factories using modular technology. Some reactors can produce as little as 15 megawatts. Like their larger siblings, SMRs use nuclear fission to split atoms, heating water, producing steam, and turning generators to make electricity. We've actually done a whole video on different types of reactors that use nuclear fusion. If you're interested in that, check it out here. This is the holy grail of energy generation, but alas, it's not quite ready for prime time. There are four main varieties of SMRs. These are the condensed versions, but if you want to have a deeper dive into this technology, let us know in the comments section. So the four types are: one, light water reactors, which use normal water as opposed to heavy water, deuterium oxide, as both coolant and neutron moderator. Two, fast neutron reactors, in which the fission chain reaction is sustained by fast neutrons carrying energies above 0.5 MeV or greater, as opposed to thermal neutrons used in thermal neutron reactors. Three, these are graphite moderated high temperature reactors. And finally, number four, reactors that use various kinds of non-light water coolants such as gas, liquid metal, or molten salt reactors, MSRs. With the average nuclear plant producing between 600 megawatts and 1.5 gigawatts of power, SMRs are indeed pretty small, which begs the question, what's the point? Well, what these reactors lack in size, they make up for in a few key ways. Before we get back to the show, let me tell you about our sponsor, Brilliant, one of my favorite services. Here's a fun puzzle I've been thinking about lately. How could you make this piece of paper hold the maximum amount of volume by cutting out squares out of each corner and folding the resulting walls up? A tiny square has a very large base but small walls, and a very large square has large walls but a small base. So what size is best? This is an optimization problem, and I got this idea from a class on Brilliant called calculus in a nutshell, an incredibly interactive course with great visuals. For instance, check out this graphic that shows that the slope of a line at its maximum or minimum is always zero or flat. It also breaks down derivatives and integrals, which helps you understand the relationship between position, speed, and acceleration. So whether you're into car racing or just want to understand how EV charging works, I couldn't recommend this course enough. If you like Sudoku or crosswords, why not throw some math into the mix and spend some time going through some courses on Brilliant? Be one of the first 200 users to use our link, brilliant.org/tubadavinci, and save 20% on a yearly premium subscription with Brilliant. Huge thank you to Brilliant and to all of you for supporting the show. A 1,000 megawatt facility needs about 1 square mile of space. They also need to be built on site, which can lead to delays due to things like bad weather, which inflate budgets. Georgia's Vogtle nuclear plant expansion has already fallen years behind schedule, spilling billions over budget, and is facing even more delays as we speak. SMRs, on the other hand, have a much smaller footprint. And best of all, they're built entirely within a controlled factory setting and installed piece by piece. Think of it like high-stakes nuclear Legos.
What are you talking about, Lego?
Indeed. Factory construction avoids other things like weather delays, allowing faster build times. Factory settings also allow for better oversight, improving construction quality and efficiency. Deciding where to build a massive reactor can pose challenges. Acreage, access to water, grid requirements, the list goes on. For smaller, isolated regions, massive power stations aren't always practical. Because SMRs are built in factories and then shipped, they can bring carbon-free energy to regions that otherwise wouldn't have that option. Estonia, for example, was kept reluctantly behind the Iron Curtain for 5 decades before gaining independence in 1991. Today, they still remain gripped by Moscow's energy grid. Kalev Kalemets, chief executive at Fermi Energia, an Estonian startup, sees SMR designs as a means to energy independence. For anyone who hasn't been to Estonia, trust me, you gotta add it to your travel list. Winter or summer, Old Town Tallinn is one of my favorite places. While individual SMR reactors produce up to 300 megawatts, they're designed to work in parallel. Start small with just one unit, keeping costs low, and only add more if or when your needs increase. Plus, if one module goes down, the rest keep plugging away while the defective one is repaired or replaced. They can also be linked to energy sources like wind or solar. The nuclear reaction that takes place also creates lots of cool residual benefits, like turning water into hydrogen for fuel or even creating potable drinking water. The ever-increasing cost of building and maintaining conventional reactors has stifled the growth and development of new nuclear plants since the 1980s, not to mention winning the hearts and minds of the local public and conforming to ever stricter regulations. In 2011, a report by the Chicago University Energy Policy Institute suggested that small reactors could significantly offset the financial risk associated with large-scale plants. Smaller size, lower construction costs, passive safety systems, more on those in a minute, all these factors lead to easier financing compared to larger plants. Another huge bonus is that these reactors can easily be retrofitted into brownfield sites in place of decommissioned old coal-fired plants. One key component of lowering the cost of SMRs is what's called economies of series production, or economy of sequence. Basically, the more dialed the system is for producing SMRs become, the more units can be built in a smaller amount of time, with cost-saving measures at every step of the process bringing down the overall cost. This is in contrast to economy of scale, which some see as a potential roadblock for SMRs, but we'll dive into that in a little bit. Because of their compact size, SMRs can operate safely with reduced need for thick shielding, complex safety systems, and intensive maintenance regimens. In 2010, a report by the American Nuclear Society showed that many safety provisions in large reactors are not necessary for the small design because of their higher surface area to volume and core heat ratio. SMRs are also built below grade, underground or underwater, reducing vulnerabilities to human-made sabotage and natural phenomena like earthquakes or tsunamis. They use passive as opposed to active safety systems, like electrical pumps and AC power grids. Some systems will simply involve the core resting in a pool of water, hence light water SMRs. Other systems will use different solvents like molten salt, similar to solar arrays. These run hotter than water reactors, but with less pressure and no pipes to pump. A number of government agencies and private companies have already devoted millions of dollars to SMR research. In fall of 2020, the U.S. Department of Energy awarded $210 million to 10 projects to develop SMR technology. Leading the charge is the Oregon-based NuScale, whose feisty 60-megawatt reactor requires only 1% of the space required by conventional reactors. NuScale plans to install 12-megawatt SMRs to build a 720-megawatt nuclear power plant that'll run roughly 20% cheaper per megawatt than larger competitors. Other top U.S. SMR companies include GE, which has two current projects in development, a slimmed-down water-cooled reactor, as well as a Natrium project developed in collaboration with the Bill Gates-backed startup TerraPower LLC, which uses molten salt. So at this point, you might be thinking, sounds great, but what are the potential drawbacks? Well, as with all tech, SMRs aren't entirely flawless. While SMRs tote lower cost and greater efficiency, some opponents question these potential outcomes, in particular because of what's known as economies of scale. Basically, a large reactor that produces three times as much power as an SMR doesn't need three times as much steel or concrete or as many hours or people working. So it costs less in the long run. Advocates for SMRs argue that modularity and factory manufacture would compensate. But for SMRs to truly be worth it, their price per kilowatt would need to compete with larger reactors or other types of energy, namely that of the old rival, natural gas. There's also concern over the design of pressurized water reactors. The massive heat exchangers that convert water into steam are prone to premature breakdown. In the last decade, such problems led to the permanent shutdown of two reactors at San Onofre, right here in San Diego, and one reactor at Crystal River in Florida. Then, of course, there's a concern that looms over all nuclear technology: radioactive waste, which can have half-lives of tens of thousands of years. So if your mind was conjuring a new wave of nuclear-powered cars that only needed to be filled up every 20 years, well, I have some bad news for you. While SMRs have dramatically reduced the size and complexity of nuclear reactors, there's still a certain size required to maintain the nuclear chain reaction and even be worth building. Maybe in the future we'll have airships that can fly around for years without nuclear power. Maybe future cargo ships can be nuclear powered. But for now, this new wave of SMRs are still squarely positioned to compete with stationary grid energy. With that said, there are dozens of SMR projects currently underway all around the world. If they can truly make good on their potential, we could see a new wave of carbon-free power bringing energy to places throughout the world that might not have had the option otherwise. But what do you think? Are small modular reactors the way forward for nuclear power? Sound off in the comments below. So that is a look at modular nuclear reactors. It's interesting, we kind of play this game of larger or smaller and figure out which is better. Microfactories, gigafactories, we did a video on that. And this is another approach to how we can solve the puzzle of nuclear energy. Nuclear reactors and nuclear energy has been on a decline, and it's because of some of the challenges that we faced. So could SMRs be the solution, and could they reverse that trend? That's kind of what I'm kind of curious to see what you guys think. So thank you so much for watching. As always, if you want to be a rockstar supporter of this show, consider joining us on Patreon as a patron or as a YouTube channel member. Join our 2-bit tribe, where you can join us on Discord, we can chat, be with other like-minded people who believe the future is going to be awesome, help us write scripts, maybe even go on trips with us to meet some of these companies. All that is possible with just a small monthly donation, and we would love your support, so thank you so much. And until next time, I'm Ricky with 2-bit Da Vinci, and just remember,
future is going to be awesome.